Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Soncast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Jeff McCann. He is the founder and CEO of Apollo Insurance. Hi, Jeff. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here with you, and look forward to chatting with you.
Absolutely. I'm definitely excited about this particular interview and learning about your story. Can you start by talking about your professional and personal background?
Without a doubt. When I came out of university, I kind of went into Big Four accounting firm, a brand name firm, and in the audit division. And really, when you come out of university, that was sort of one of the career choices that was really exciting for graduates. It was, you know, great brand and company. And at the time, insurance just wasn't even something on my radar. You know, there was no campus recruiting, and, you know, insurance is almost kind of a dirty word when it comes to a career choice. And so, you know, after I was in accounting for a little while, I sort of fell backwards into insurance through a ski resort insurance program. And so I was so fortunate to be able to drive around Western Canada, you know, visiting some of the top resorts in the world and working with the owners and the risk managers around their insurance portfolio, really learning that technical side. And it was pretty fun too, being out in the mountains, and really got a good understanding at the same time of the insurance industry, and both, you know, how it works from a risk transfer perspective, but also just kind of felt like I was going back in time, having come from a cloud-based, kind of very forward-thinking accounting firm into the industry.
Mm-hmm. So your first insurance job, was it like were you like a B2B insurance sales associate, if I'm not mistaken? Or like, what was your first insurance position?
That's exactly it. It was a B2B sales. And so we were selling insurance to ski resorts. And so obviously they've got a whole bunch of property out in the middle of the woods somewhere. And you got to make sure it doesn't burn down, or they've got a lot of equipment that has to run for them to make money. And then, of course, you got people kind of skiing off cliffs and all the liabilities associated with being out in the mountains and skiing as a hobby for people.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing like you had to do like a lot of field visits. Like, were you in charge of like lead generation and finding potential clients, or was there somebody who would do that research and tell you go here and try to sell something? Like, how was the sales process for you?
Yeah, we sort of already had a book of ski resorts, and you know, ski resorts is a very niche area. And so it was pretty targeted. You know, there's only so many of them. It's not like other kind of sales where you have, 100 million potential buyers and you really have to narrow the funnel. It's sort of a very fixed number. And so it was a matter of just building relationships, demonstrating expertise, and showing what our products could do for those buyers and their resorts.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So can you talk about Apollo Insurance, what it is, and how the idea came about?
Without a doubt. I mean, we basically, you know, looked at that ski resort. What we had was fascinating, because we had a template insurance product for ski resorts. And so we didn't have to go reinvent the wheel. We had this really great product that was pre-designed by a couple of guys down the States. And so I thought to myself, you know, why don't we have template products for small businesses? You know, I was always a passionate entrepreneur. My parents were entrepreneurs. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. And it's like, well, why don't we take what we did with ski resorts and having a sort of template product that's really, really good and easy to access? And why not go do that for small businesses? And so I spent the better part of the last decade as vice president digital strategy and vice president marketing and e-commerce at a large brokerage group, you know, implementing digital strategies, CRMs. You know, it was early days of kind of content marketing and inbound marketing as a lead generation mechanism. And so we really were able to sort of recognize, hey, you know what? It's really hard for a small business to get insurance. It's a big pain in the butt, all this paperwork and friction. It should be easier. Entrepreneurs need to spend more time on their business and less time dealing with, you know, accountants, insurance, and lawyers and the rest of it. So when we founded Apollo, it was really with that in mind. Let's make it easy to focus on building relationships and adding value as opposed to doing paperwork. and let's make a template product for individuals and small businesses to make it online, mobile friendly, super quick, less than 5 minutes, you should be able to buy your insurance and get back to focusing on what you want to focus on. And that's really what Apollo is all about and what we've built as a business.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is that there is no paper forms. People can go on the website and they can do like a 5 minute online form. And by the end of those 5 minutes, they will have a quote, I guess, from an insurance provider, and they can purchase it if they like. Is that accurate?
That's exactly it. And so, you know, we have two channels. One is we recognize that, you know, insurance brokers and insurance agents are still critical. It's how almost all insurance is sold right now. Less than 1% of insurance is sold online. So this is an industry that's very much in its infancy. We've seen digital transformation in sort of fintech and banking and other segments, but insurance is kind of last. So we have the ability for a broker to come in, get a quote, put in the payment, and the policy gets created, you know, immediately. So less than 5 minutes, or the customer can self-serve. So we have sort of a Shopify type widget where the customer can self-serve from hundreds of different websites that we power by embedding our insurance products into these different places that buyers might be going to look for insurance. And yeah, you're totally right. You can go online, get a quote, and then you can actually put your credit card in and it'll email you a policy right there in real time, which compared to having to fill out all the paperwork and all the back and forth, we've basically taken a 6-week process and brought it down to about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And do you are you also the party in charge of providing that insurance, or are you like the middleman between the insurance companies and the businesses which are buying the insurance?
So we play as a middleman. We don't take balance sheet risk ourselves. We work with a variety of different insurance companies behind us, or reinsurance companies, to sort of manage the actual risk. And then we're a licensed distribution business. And when we looked at the model, it allows us to be really capital light. And so we've been able to raise a bit of money, but we didn't have to go and raise, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to set ourselves up, because we're, you know, licensed as a distribution business, but we work with partners to be able to sort of borrow or work off of their balance sheet to be able to actually pay the claims.
Mm-hmm. So if you're able to, you know, shorten the whole process from, let's say, 6 weeks to 5 minutes, I'm guessing there is more to that than just digitizing a form. So can you talk about how you've been able to simplify the whole process, like our traditional forms, like collecting a lot of unnecessary data which you don't ask for, or is it simply like a digitization of the insurance forms? Like, can you talk about how you were able to simplify and the process and make it more efficient?
Yeah, we really had to start and reinvent the entire process from the ground up, and then, you know, look at, all right, what has to happen. And so in the paper-based channel, you're going to have a form that's going to ask it, you know, 50 questions and everything about your dog and everything else in the world, asking for your sort of left leg as part of the process. And so for us, we said, well, which questions can we eliminate? Which questions can we make more clear? And then also, how can we create decision trees in our algorithm so that you only have to answer the questions you really have to answer? And so, yeah, if you say yes to something, you might get 5 more questions as a conditional kind of factor to learn a little bit more, to make sure that we give you the right price and the right product. But if you say no, then it's like, hey, you know, just sort of run right through. And so, you know, by reinventing the process and really creating algorithmic underwriting, our goal or our vision is to one day almost look like a quant fund in the, you know, stock market, in the investing world, where I want to be able to take 1 million data points, but not have to ask the customer any questions. And it's a bit paradoxical, but that's really our dream. Is I don't want it to be, you know, all these questions that the customer might not even know the answer to, they might not have in front of them. They should just be able to put in, you know, their business name and or their name, you know, and the rest of it. Maybe they sign up through another platform, and that should be able to complete the data and really give us all the underwriting data we need to make a good decision to be able to give you a quote, but also make it just so easy and really embed insurance into these other ecosystems for that end customer.
Mm. So if you reduce the number of questions that you're asking, do you take the risk that you might do a wrong risk assessment of the consumer and then provide them a lower premium because you did not have a proper understanding of the risk. Is that a risk that you expose yourself to when you reduce the questions that you ask?
Well, not at all. And the reason is, like I talked about with this concept of kind of being a quant fund, it's not about the questions that we ask. It's about how are we making decisions and what are the data points that are being collected. So sometimes those data points might come from another source. Sometimes if you look at the actual decisions an insurance company is making, even though they ask you 50 questions, 20 of them don't change the price and they won't change your eligibility either. They're just asking. And so when you really drill down into these applications and say, there's data collection questions, your name, your address, there's questions that are going to drive price. How much limit do you have? Maybe it's revenue. Maybe it's how much stuff you own if you're a renter. And then you've got eligibility. You know, if you're a fireworks factory, all right, Apollo is not the right place for you. You know, you're going to need someone to really understand your business and spend a lot more time in it. But if you're a small business, less than 20 employees, you're a renter or a homeowner, you know, then we can do that. And really it's on us to say, how do we reduce our risk, or how do we make really good pricing decisions for the insurance by collecting data from a variety of different sources and making good decisions as we sort of build out a macro data set.
It's interesting that insurance companies maybe still do like ask questions which don't affect the price and the eligibility. It's like, you know, why are they asking for that in the first
place? That question is exactly the most important. It's why. And to start with the question, why is something that a lot of, you know, large bureaucratic organizations, it's just not encouraged, and it's not the culture, but also their job is to maintain the status quo. And that's what makes them, you know, great, big, profitable corporations, but they're slow moving as a result. And when you are able to start a business, you can really ask that question, why, and challenge the norm. Even within ourselves, we're challenging the norm and saying something we might have done a year ago or 2 years ago, why are we doing it that way? Can we innovate? Can we make it better for the customer? Always putting that customer lens on. And just like you said, you hit it right on the head, asking why. And if we're able to do that effectively, then I think we're going to be able to continue to innovate. I think a lot of people think, oh, put it online and then it's done. Innovation is never done. It's something that we have to keep pushing on, keep learning from other industries and segments, and continue to iterate our product and our experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you generate revenue? Is there like a transaction fee that you charge? How do you monetize?
So we make a commission and fees off of every transaction. So just like, you know, and this is where it's funny, because being a technology company and really reinventing the process, but also we anchor some of our fundamentals into the core root that insurance is a great industry to be in. It's a great business to be in. And so, you know, we make money that we're paid by the insurance companies to distribute their products, to be able to serve that end customer. So we make a sort of a commission and a transaction fee. That's a small percentage of every dollar paid. The rest of it goes to the insurance companies to sit on to, you know, eventually pay claims. Which is the whole point of the sort of promise that we're making is, hey, if anything goes bad, we're going to make sure that that claim gets paid. And so it's a really traditional revenue model, even though it's a very innovative and digital business. And so by marrying those two together, unlike some other startups that have a tough time figuring out a monetization or revenue model, we've got very strong fundamentals on, you know, every time we sell a policy, we make a few bucks. And so we got to sell enough policies, and then, you know, insurance is unique that the policy renews year after year. So even though we don't have a SaaS, you know, platform that we sort of have a revenue stream from, the insurance renews. And so our strong fundamentals come from the insurance renewing every year.
Mm-hmm. Do you have direct competitors which are offering a same or similar service, or are you like a new and innovative company in the space?
There's always competitors. You know, insurance is a really old industry. And so there's tons of existing insurance companies that are, you know, multi-billion dollar giants who, you know, we feel we're kind of competing with them to be able to delight customers and offer an incredible customer experience and, you know, innovate and offer a product to customers in a way that suits them more than the kind of traditional way. So, you know, of course, we've got the existing insurance ecosystem as competitors. And then there are a few, you know, insurtechs who have made big splashes and who have done well. But the interesting thing about insurance is it's such a massive market. So Canadians spend about $66 billion every year on property and casualty insurance. In the United States, it's about $600 billion every single year on property and casualty insurance. And so there's about 10 companies, I think, that are on the Fortune 100 list, but not one of them has more than 4% market share. And so it's an incredibly fragmented and massive industry that, you know, you can sort of say, well, are we competing with that huge company down the States? Are we competing with Geico? Well, they're not in Canada. We don't really do auto. You know, are we competing with Lemonade? Sure, they're an online insurance company offering renters, but there's tons and tons of renters. And actually, there's tons of opportunity both in the Canadian, US, and global landscape to, I think, just as long as we focus on serving the customer, then we can say, well, who are we really competing with? And I think it's the lethargic companies that aren't doing a great job for that end customer.
Mm-hmm. So recently you had a fundraising round of about $13.5 million. So can you talk about that fundraising round, what the whole process was like, how long did it take, and how do you plan to use the investment?
Absolutely. I think one thing that any entrepreneur that's listening to this will kind of understand or feel like is like you're always raising money. And so that process from day one never really ends. It's all about building your network and building relationships, telling our story sort of in a constant way so that when the time is right, you know, a lot of people think that it's a yes or no, black or white from investors, but really it's a not right now in a lot of cases, or it's a matter of building a relationship, doing what you say you're going to do and continuing to execute. And then when the time is right, you become a fit for certain investors. On our last round, our Series A, we were fortunate to partner with Gravitas Securities, and they were a great partner to work with and be able to support us and lead the round. We also had a couple insurance companies, Liberty Mutual, who's the sixth largest in the world, Trisura Group, who's a publicly traded company out of Toronto. And so having insurance companies, having retail investors, institutional investors, high net worth, we have a really strong and diverse mix. So, you know, we were able to sort of get out, keep telling our story from day one. And when we started the company, you know, we launched in April of 2019 and then really be able to, when we said, all right, let's go raise our Series A, we already had built a lot of relationships. So it wasn't a new story for a lot of people. And as a result, I think that really helped our success. And it also helped us open and close the round a lot more quickly than a lot of processes would have otherwise been.
Mm-hmm. How long did the whole process take? Was it easy or was it particularly difficult?
I mean, easy or difficult are kind of funny words. I mean, there's nothing that's easy, but it's, you know, if you have a great business with good fundamentals and you can tell a compelling story, I think the insurance technology or insure tech space is sort of a good place to be in. People recognize, hey, you know what? It should be better for customers in the insurance value chain. And so I think as a result of that, we had a compelling offering for investors to be able to put it. I mean, we basically sort of started the process in November of last year. We closed just before Christmas. So about 6 weeks from sort of open to close. So a relatively short process, which was really efficient for us. But that's also not just that process. It's again, it's the 2 years before that of coffee meetings and being on airplanes and emails and making sure that we're sort of telling that story from the beginning so that we're ready to go raise that money. You can have a shorter process.
Yeah. I mean, 6 weeks is definitely a short process, but I guess you had those relationships in place and you knew people and they were familiar with the company. So that kind of helps. Were you able to get the valuation that you wanted, or do you feel like you had to compromise a bit? And can you talk about the valuation at which you raised?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when you're choosing the valuation. I mean, you want to create enough tension and demand that you can pick the right partners. Yeah. You know, some people say all money is green, but for us, it was really important to pick strategic partners that want to build a company with us in the long run. There's a lot of money out there right now, especially there's you know, a lot of froth in the markets and a lot of capital available. And, you know, you can, no two term sheets are equal. And for us, it was really important to pick strategic partners that can be with us for the long run, that we can build a company alongside. And so again, having a couple insurance companies, as well as institutional investors, you know, our partners at Gravitas Securities, having them as saying, it's not just about this round. What does it look like for the next 5 years? What does it look like for the next 10 years together? That was really important to us. And so we got a really healthy valuation, I think, based on our fundamentals, the revenue we have, and the excitement in the insurtech space. But, you know, people are saying, well, what does the world look like in 10 years? It's going to be online. It's going to be customer centric. And, you know, insurance isn't going anywhere. So I think that that's really attractive for a lot of investors. And we were able to get a really strong valuation, as well as put the right amount of capital in the business to keep accelerating us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one thing that you mentioned earlier is young people are not particularly interested in working in the insurance industry. So why do you think that is? And do you have a plan to change that?
I think the industry overall has a bit of a bad rap. You know, it's sort of daunting. It's untrustworthy. It doesn't have that same kind of sex appeal as maybe other startups or, you know, anything that was sort of hot for a while. If you're a cryptocurrency something, or if you're a, you know, maybe something with a, you know, different cause, and I think it becomes more attractive, or people still want to be lawyers and accountants because, you know, at a dinner party, if you say you're a lawyer, you get a bit more clout than saying that you're in the insurance business. And that's just a reality to it. So I think the industry as a whole, you know, with consumers as well as that employer brand, but it's a really amazing industry because it's stable. It's a great career opportunity. It's a great way to interact with other businesses. I mean, we're so fortunate to insure, you know, thousands and thousands of businesses where we get to go and kind of learn about them. And you know, whether it was ski resorts, which was a passion of mine because I got to go skiing, or even now small businesses, which I'm really passionate about, especially coming out of COVID. I think it's an opportunity for, if you love yoga, well, guess what? You can come in and work in insurance, and we sell a ton of insurance to yoga instructors and yoga studios, and, you know, vice versa into any other sort of industry segment. So I think people, hopefully we can build that employer brand that attracts great talent. We've got an amazing team now, about 50 people across Canada, you know, headquartered in Vancouver. And I think we're able to kind of change that. And there's going to be a renaissance of entrepreneurship coming out of COVID with stimulus and with sort of a reinvention of the economy. And I'm just excited to make it easy for those entrepreneurs and small businesses to be able to get started, get insurance, and get on to building the companies that they want to build.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been hit by a big economic crisis recently, and industries have been affected. Did you experience any growth or decline in your business?
We, you know, really accelerated through the lockdown in 2020. I think, you know, with a lot of storefront insurance providers being closed, I think people want an online experience. But even the brokers that we serve, I think they were working from home, and, you know, they want it easy. They want to be able to access great products on behalf of their clients. And so we grew through the sort of the lockdown at a pretty rapid pace. And, you know, that was an exciting thing. But I had said to the team, you know, if you're whitewater rafting and you hit rapids, you got to paddle like hell. And I think the best thing that we did as a business and as a group of human beings was when they closed the economy, we just said, all right, let's focus on what we can control and let's go out and hustle and really work hard. And so coming out of that, I think there's, you know, a lot of resilience in the business community. And now I'm seeing tons and tons of new business starts. There's a record number of new businesses being started. People are starting, you know, businesses at their kitchen table. And we're really excited to be able to help power them and those new businesses by making it easy and helping those buyers get access to great insurance products and getting them back on their way. So I think we're going to continue to see growth with that tailwind of this sort of reinvention of small business in the economy.
That's great. Did you learn any leadership lessons since you started Apollo Insurance, and can you share some insights?
Yeah, there's always a lesson to be learned every day. There's a new conversation and there's new learnings. And I think, you know, I've always been very good at checking my ego at the door. And as a team, we do that very well. So we can just have frank, candid conversations. One of the biggest things for me is always rooting everything back to our corporate values. And they're really values we established at the very beginning. They're values that come up in daily conversation. A lot of corporations, a lot of companies, you know, you couldn't even survey people to know what the values are. But for us, we got to live them every day. And they provide guidance at a time of hardship. And so, you know, candor is one of our core values as an example, which is an uncommon corporate value. So as a leader, we've got to point back and say, hey, listen, we got to have candor. We got to be open, honest, and frank with each other. That way we're going to navigate these problems together. It's not going to be me saying, here's the solution and everyone else following it. We're a team. We've got some really, really smart people, and it's all about just encouraging them to have candor, to speak up, to voice and challenge ideas. And if we have that vigorous debate, and some of those red flag mechanisms to be able to say, hey, stop, like, we got to just think this through, or, you know, the best ideas are going to come from the team. And so as a leader, it was really embracing that, empowering the team. I mean, my most important role is to build and empower a great team. And so just rooting back to that and constantly checking myself against the values, checking the team against the values, was really guiding principles for us to be successful, not just through the pandemic, but, you know, through raising capital, through growing from about 10 to 50 employees. And it'll continue to be my guiding principles through the next phase of growth.
All right. That's great. Can you share a fun fact about yourself?
A fun fact. Yeah. You know, it's, I don't really know what one might be. I can rip a phone book in half, which kind of makes for a good party trick. And that was, and the fun fact about that is my sister actually taught me how to do it. There's a bit of a trick to it, but there's a fun fact for you.
So you can tear a phone book into two parts, essentially.
Into two pieces, yeah, right down the middle.
And right down the middle, and you can do it like really fast.
Yeah, yeah, in one take. Yeah, there's a bit of a trick to it, but yeah, it's there's a fun fact for you. It's you know, I haven't had to have fun for a little while, but
I'm curious, like how you developed that skill. Like, did you actually practice tearing books?
Well, if you're gonna say you know you're in the insurance business at a dinner party, you gotta find other party tricks to be able to redeem yourself. And so maybe that's how it all turned out in a way.
That's interesting. Well, Jeff, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about yourself and your background and your business. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Absolutely. You want to share your website? How can people find you?
We're at apollocover.com, Paul like the spaceship, C-O-V-E-R.com. Come check us out. Try and get a quote. See what you think. We love feedback. We're always iterating and trying to improve. So have a chance to go on and have a look around.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about Jeff and Apollo and how they are providing a simplified way for you to find insurance. And definitely visit the website to learn more. And thank you so much for listening to Soundcast, and stay tuned for more episodes.